Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 5th chapter, text number 32. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Padu Mahiyam Swakritai Vayasya. Chatur Vidho Yatra Hibhuta Sarga. Savai Mahapurusha Atmatantra Pasidatam Brahma Mahabhibhuti Padau, his lotus feet. Mahi, the earth. Iyam, this. Swakrita, created by himself. Eva, indeed. Yasya, of whom? Chaturvidha, of four kinds of living entities. Yatra, wherein? He, indeed. Bhuta Sarga, material creation. Sa, he, by, indeed. Mahapurusha, the Supreme Person. Atmatantra, self-sufficient. Prasidatam, may he be merciful to us. Brahma, the greatest. Mahabhibhuti, with unlimited potency. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. On this earth, there are four kinds of living entities who are all created by Him. The material creation rests on His lotus feet. He is the great Supreme Person, full of opulence and power. May He be pleased with us. Please repeat. On this earth, there are four kinds of living entities who are all created by Him. The material creation rests on His lotus feet. He is the great Supreme Person, full of opulence and power. May He be pleased with us. Purport. The word Mahi refers to the five material elements, earth, water, air, fire, and sky, which rest upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahatparam Punya Yasho Murari. The Mahat Tattva, the total material energy, rests on His lotus feet. For the cosmic manifestation is but another opulence of the Lord. In this cosmic manifestation, there are four kinds of living entities. Jarayuja, those born from embryos. Undaja, those born from eggs. Swetaja, those born from perspiration. And Udbijja, those born from seeds. Everything is generated from the Lord, as confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra, Janmadhyasya Yattaha. No one is independent, but the Supreme Soul is completely independent. Janmadhyasya yatonbayari taratas chartesvabhigyasvarat. The word swarat means independent. We are dependent, whereas the Supreme Lord is completely independent. We are dependent. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the greatest of all. Even Lord Brahma, who created this cosmic manifestation, is but another opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The material creation is activated by the Lord, and therefore the Lord is not a part of the material creation. The Lord exists in his original spiritual position. The universal form of the Lord by Rajamurti is another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Magyanati Madandasya Gunam Jana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivashari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here Lord Brahma continues his prayers and begins a series of prayers for 12 verses speaking about the universal form of the Lord. We see in practically all the prayers offered to the Lord, whoever is praying, they begin by describing the Lord as the Lord of material nature, the controller of the three modes. We were discussing this yesterday. Because first there has to be sambandha. Especially here in Vrindavan, there's a tendency toward prayojana. Forget about the sambandha and little abhideya, but let's concentrate on prayojana, which is all right if you're properly situated that way. Of course, Prabhupada was properly situated that way, but spoke in such a way that it inspired every devotee to perform devotional service, to save the fallen conditioned souls. Otherwise, the mood of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada in one Vyas Puja, where he was very analytical, he said that this ceremony, Vyasa Puja, is not just a festival of fruits and flowers, but a dedication to the service of Sri Gurudev, of the Parampara. And that service is to present Krishna consciousness in such a way that it engages all living entities in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the Anti Lila, in one purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to deliver the fallen conditioned souls. This is the mission. Of course, we see in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and especially in the fourth chapter of the Adi Lila, there is a description of Lord Chaitanya's internal desire to relish the glories of Srimati Radharani and the sweetness of that service or that attitude and the happiness she derives from glorifying the Supreme Lord. But that's not what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught to everyone. No. That is something very special for him and for those devotees who can realize that internally. So the point is that Lord Brahma is establishing here. Of course, he begins his, when he the demigods address him, we're in danger, we are, we've lost all our opulence, we've been defeated, we don't even have the Sanjeevanam to revive those members who have been killed in battle, which we usually have. We can usually just bring them back and keep fighting, but now we don't even have that. So Lord Brahma, he he tells them, well, there's only one solution. And that is we have to address the Supreme Lord and surrender unto Him. Sometimes we address Krishna, but from the point of view of our desires. We want, yes, Krishna, you're wonderful when you can satisfy my desires. But when that's not happening, then I have to make more money, I have to do this, I have to do that. And of course, in order to do that, I may have to diminish my chanting. Well, you know, that's the way it is. So this is not surrender. So, because Brahma is recommending surrender, so, and he's at the same time, in his prayers to the Supreme Lord, he is preaching to, or he's addressing the demigods. Now, they're listening. And, of course, they are Sakama Bhaktas. They have material desire. They have faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, therefore, Brahma begins this series of verses speaking about emphasizing how every aspect of material nature is under the control and under the jurisdiction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, it's not that when there's danger or when there's a problem, let us all go to the Lord and figure out what to do. And then when it's all over, then business as usual, which of course many times is the mentality that we have in this material world. Of course, that's an arrangement of the Lord, but that's not surrender. That's a partial surrender, momentary surrender, forced surrender. Just like many people ask, I get this question often, if God wants us to be happy, why doesn't he just make us all happy? He could do that. Yes, he could do that. But then it would be forced happiness. Otherwise, it would be, where is the rasa? Where is the interchange of, where is the surrender? Where is the love on the part of the living entity? If we just desire to be happy, then we want Krishna to be the instrument of that happiness. And if we want to make Krishna happy, then everyone becomes happy. If I want myself to be happy, then I want Krishna to be the instrument, Krishna to be the creator. Of course, here, Krishna is addressed as the creator. And just to make sure, Lord Brahma, when he addressed the demigods in previous verses, he said, he spoke about these four different types of living beings. Those who are born from embryos, from eggs, from sweat, and from seeds. So, why does he say that? Why is he mentioning that in this verse? Showing that everyone is, of course, someone may say, well, it's saying ja, or born from, Brahma is addressed as Aja. But he's born from the abdomen of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because of that, of course, that very much related to this particular month of Kartik and Damodar Lila, because Satyavrata Muni, he addresses in his last verse of glorification of Damodar, he offers his obeisances, Namaste to Damne, Spura Dipti Damne, to the rope, and then to the belly of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because within that abdomen of the Supreme Lord is contained everything. So, the point is that he wants to make sure that the demigods don't think that some category of living entities are under the control of the Lord and others are not. Specifically addressing them, who they have the tendency to be a little independent, especially Indra. Of course, that's one of our most famous pastimes here in Vrindavan. Indra, becoming angry with Krishna. Brahma, even Brahma, later on, the 10th canto, he becomes bewildered by Krishna. So the demigods, they are surrendered to the Lord. But sometimes that surrender becomes opaque by the desire to enjoy this material world. So therefore, Brahma, he addresses the universal form. So this universal form, from the demigod's point of view, is very spectacular. It's something that is inconceivable. It's so inconceivable that when Krishna showed the universal form to Arjuna, and after Arjuna said, "My Lord, this is certainly very wonderful." Actually, he achieved a grade of sobriety that I've been sitting with you, joking with you, and now I'm realizing the extent of your opulence. Of course, for someone like Arjuna, to just think of the opulence of the Lord is a downgrade. It's a downgrade, especially for Mother Yashoda. She saw the universal form twice, and what happened? She started thinking, well, maybe Krishna is not really even my son. Actually, we're all living entities. She began to think so philosophically. Right? And Krishna said, "Oh no, yoga maya. No, I can't have Mother Yashoda thinking like this." But for the demigods to think like that, or for us to see the universal form, and Srila Prabhupada describes that universal form in many places by saying, just like if a mother sees the shoe of her child, or sees the toy of the child, immediately she thinks of the child. So this is the approach that Brahma is using here. Any living entity, everything you see, and also not only what you see, but what you experience, Mahabhibhuti, all the opulences, all the power, all the prowess that exists within those four classes of living entities, every energetic manifestation within this material world, it's all coming from Krishna. So that's from their point of view. From Mother Yashoda's point of view, from Arjuna's point of view, seeing the universal form was something that in Arjuna's case, it was for the benefit of the living entities. And in Mother Yashoda's case, I mentioned this the other day, that Krishna, that she wanted to see dirt. So Krishna said, "You want to see dirt? I'll show you unlimited dirt." Why just a little piece? Let me show you unlimited mahi, or dirt. From Mother Yashoda's point of view, the universal form is not very important. Now, Sri Advaita Acharya, when he was in the house of Shivas one day, he began to glorify the gopis. And he fell on the ground, he began to roll in ecstasy, and then he sat up in kind of a sulken mood of, and nobody could understand why he was all of a sudden, he was in ecstasy, then all of a sudden he was in a whole different consciousness. So Shivas called the Lord and said, "Maybe you should speak to him." And so the Lord went before Advaita, and Advaita folded his hands and he said, "My dear Lord," and the Lord said, "Something I can do for you." He said, "My Lord, something I've wanted all the time was to see that vision which you gave to Arjuna. Please allow me to see that." And so Krishna said, "All right." And then all of a sudden, Advaita Acharya saw the chariot, Arjuna, Krishna. Krishna expanded into the universal form. Then he saw that universal form expanded. Then he saw demigods crowding the whole horizon, glorifying that universal form. Then he saw everything included in the universal form. And he was just feeling so much bliss. Now, why did Advaita Acharya do this? Now, he's already together with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, constantly chanting the holy name. So, Srila Prabhupada, and even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his last days in Jagannath Puri, where he was experiencing the acme of the internal meditation on Radha, Krishna, and the gopis. Then, all of a sudden, he began to speak about Dhruva Maharaj. And he spoke about Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, for some period of time. Srila Prabhupada glorified his Guru Maharaj. In Radha Kund, they heard he was coming, and they thought, oh, such a great scholar. Let's hear what he has to say, about Radha Kund. And he spoke on Savaipum Samparo Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Dhoksajay, that one should understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and devotional service. So, also Advaita Acharya wanting to see the universal form, showing that there's no difference between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I'm co-associating with and his energy and his universal form and every manifestation that he has. This wonderful manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be understood by everyone. And also, even when we hear here in Vrindavan, when we hear about Krishna's pastimes, I'm sitting there looking at so many pastimes painted on the walls, and we see them everywhere, and we hear of them everywhere. But that doesn't eliminate the pleasure of hearing Bhagavad Gita, of doing some service, of becoming surcharged with the spiritual potency of the holy Dham, and then returning to our places of residence. Even if your place of residence happens to be here. Just the other day I was hearing an interview by Vijay Prabhu, our Sankirtan minister, interviewing Mother Daiva Shakti. And she was explaining how here in Vrindavan Dham, what was she meditating on? That which Srila Prabhupada instructed her, book distribution. So she lives here, and she devised a way that so many people are coming here to Sri Vrindavan Dham. Let me get books in all those languages and do my Sankirtan here. This is proper use of intelligence. She could go back to New York and get a book bag and go out and distribute some books. But here she can distribute hundreds of books or thousands of books sitting in one place, just intelligently organizing that in such a way that book distribution. So the point is that our purpose of being here is to engage in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to become enlivened, to hear about Krishna, to worship Krishna, to become absorbed in Krishna. So that absorption increases our desire to chant the holy name, and then increased desire to chant the holy name and feel that bliss of chanting the holy name if we're chanting properly. Otherwise, for some people, it's a jagya. It is the Sankirtan jagya. It's the jagya for this age. But sometimes it's a jagya in our mind, if we're not absorbed in the holy name. But so we go back and we become enlivened by the holy name. And we become enlivened by Krishna's pastimes, and we bring that back. This is the mood of Sankirtan. You get something from the association of the Vaishnavas, from the association with the holy Dham, and you take it to others, to those, to your family, to your friends, to those to whom we're preaching. Because according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone should be preaching. When Kurma Brahman, seeing the ecstasy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan, he thought, forget about this family life. I want to go with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No. But his family life was not complete. No. It would have been artificial renunciation. He said, no, you just stay here. And everybody you meet, wherever you go, you tell them about Krishna. Preach here in your neighborhood. Bring people up in Krishna consciousness. So this is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the universal, going back to the universal form, I wanted to connect it a little bit with this particular month of Kartik and what we're doing here. Srila Prabhupada in his purport speaks about the opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna's opulences. And specifically, of course, Lord Brahma is addressing Vishnu. So, and he's speaking before the demigods. In his Brahma Samhita, and in his prayers in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, he addresses the Lord more intimately. But here he's addressing the Lord more formally. How he expands into the universal form. And Srila Prabhupada makes two major points here in the purport. One is the opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those opulences, opulence is very wonderful when it's manifested in Krishna. No? But opulence can be very tricky, very dangerous in this material world. If we're not careful, it can bewilder us. Opulence, good birth, or whether it's good or not good, we all think it's wonderful. Bhauma idyadi, this place where I was born is so wonderful. I mentioned this a few times. I don't think I mentioned it here that. Many years ago, I was doing Sankirtan in a desert area, New Mexico. And I mean, this was the desert of deserts. You didn't see a plant, anywhere. And so we stopped at a gas station to get gas. And that was the old days in the U.S. when they had gas attendants. Now, they're very rare species. But so I said to the man, this place is something else. How can you live here? And he says, yes, isn't it beautiful? Especially when the sun shines on the sand. So happy. And this wonderful place that where I'm living in. So the living entity is always bewildered by these by this influence of the modes of material nature. So, so Krishna, when in these prayers that we're singing every day in the month of Damodar, Satyavrata Muni also glorifies the universal form. Sanatana Goswami comments that the rope which he glorifies, this brilliant. Brilliant, beautiful rope is actually exhibiting the effulgence of the Brahman. Because the Brahman surrounds the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he glorifies the abdomen of the Supreme Lord. Meaning, yes, there's the Brahman, and then there is your manifestation. And then, beyond that, there is the manifestation of your wonderful pastimes, and especially with Srimati Radharan. So the Lord's opulence is very wonderful, and it becomes more wonderful and more wonderful and more wonderful. But the opulence in this material world can create a great fever. Tvam akinchana gochara. Unless we are akinchana gochara, unless we are really understand that everything belongs to Krishna, because real renunciation or the real position of akinchana or being without any material wealth doesn't mean that we don't have material wealth. It means that we understand it belongs to Krishna. We understand that my particular function is to take care of it. It's like yesterday we were in Vrindakund and thinking, you know, speaking about how Vrindadevi is the, you know, has jurisdiction over this area. We were talking about how it was acquired by ISKCON, but actually it was never acquired by ISKCON. But ISKCON is taking care of it, you know, for Vrindadevi, on Vrindadevi's behalf. And we're taking care of this material body on Krishna's behalf, and especially on Srila Prabhupada's behalf, to use it properly in devotional service. So opulence, the opulence of the Lord, is of course being glorified in this first step as the universal opulence. But the opulence, a devotee can have opulence, and unlimited opulence. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when he comments on the famous verse, Yasyaham Anugrinami Harishe Taddanam Janai, that the Lord, when he especially favors someone, he takes away their everything that becomes an obstacle to their devotional service. So Vishwanath, he comments that, yeah, this is a special mercy, but the greatest mercy is that the Lord wants to give us unlimited opulence. And the first opulence that he gives us is the opulence of surrender. So when external opulence confuses us, then he takes it away. But he's very happy to give it. And he gave that Srila Prabhupada, in the way that his life unfolded by Krishna's arrangement, he demonstrated this. He had some opulence, but that opulence was an obstacle. But it wasn't an obstacle to his devotional progress. It was an obstacle to beginning the mission, the very important, essential mission that Krishna wanted him to perform. And therefore, it was taken away. And then Srila Prabhupada immediately accepted the arrangement of the Lord, began to preach, took the renounced order, and then by his preaching, Krishna gave him again unlimited, gave him unlimited opulence. Here it speaks about unlimited potency, maha vibhuti. The Lord has unlimited potency, and he wants to give that potency. Krishna shakti vina nahi tara pravartana. He wants to empower a devotee, because without that empowerment, we cannot spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So opulence can be very wonderful, but sometimes that opulence has to be taken away, which of course is another aspect of what we celebrate in the Damodar Astakam. That these two, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, they were also bewildered by opulence. Totally bewildered by the opulence that that the Supreme Lord, his devotee, was passing by, so bewildered that they didn't even notice Narada Muni, nor did they cover themselves, nor did they offer respects. So bewildered. But Narada Muni, he said, these are sons of Kuvera. They should not be acting in this way. Let me see how to benefit them. And so he thought, better to take away their opulence. And of course, we know, then they became the Jamalarjun trees. And then Krishna, in the form of Damodar, pulled them down. And when they manifested from the trees, they manifested their original forms. Immediately they bowed down to the Lord, thinking, previously we were like this, very proud, chest out, head up. But actually, better position is head down, chest in. No, otherwise, offer obeisances. This chest out, head back got us into so much trouble. Now let us take the proper position. So, Satyavrata Muni, in the previous verse, he characterizes himself as ati dinam, that I'm so unfortunate, drowning in this ocean of material existence. But when I see this example of the Kuvera Majo, these Mani Griva and Nala Kuvera, I see there's some hope. Tvai mochito bhakti bhajo krita ucha. That they were liberated. But what kind of liberation was that? It wasn't liberation in the Brahman, because he says, namokshe graho meisti damodareha. That I don't want liberation. He said that twice. No. Varam namoksha. Ksha vadimba. I don't want liberation in the sense of being freed from the material world. I want to be free from anything that keeps me from being engaged in your pure devotional service. That's the kind of liberation I want. And now I see that your devotee, Narada Muni, he delivered these two. They were in a fallen condition, and they were delivered by the mercy of the association of your devotees. And therefore, let me also get this one tata prema bhaktim swakamma me praicha. That let me get this wonderful prema bhakti, which is the greatest opulence. Once we have that opulence, just like one of the things I say when I have generally an Indian audience, that especially here in India, you have the greatest opulence and you want to give it up for a paltry opulence that you can't even hold on to. No. The opulence, whatever opulence we can achieve in this world, money, power, fame, you have to, it's like a slippery fish, you always have to trying to grab it and it's always slipping away. And even if you have it, or you think you have it, you're always worried that you'll lose it. But you come from the place where there's the greatest opulence, the opulence of prema bhakti. And this is the opulence that is being glorified here, the real opulence of prema bhakti. And another very important point, which is being expressed here by Srila Prabhupada, is the dependent position. Of course, Srila Prabhupada is saying this in response to what is the purpose of these prayers. The purpose of these prayers is so that Brahma convinces the demigods that we must surrender. And these prayers are the gateway to surrender. Understanding the greatness of the Lord in relation to his material nature, in relation to the three modes of nature, in relation to the living entities, in relation to the whole creation. And we're dependent. Srila Prabhupada makes this point. We're all dependent. Therefore, we're born in different conditions. Totally dependent. We're dependent how to come into this material world. We're dependent on how to function in this world. Every living entity. Of course, the non-human living entities, they're inspired by Paramatma to do what they need to do. And the human beings in Kali Yuga, they're so foolish that they can't listen to the Paramatma, and they, in the form of the Lord speaking to them through different scriptures, they're simply bewildered by the modes of nature and trying to enjoy the material world. So Srila Prabhupada makes the point, that Krishna is Swarat. He's totally independent. He can do what he wants. And that independence is partially, minutely manifest within our very lives. But it should not be prominent. Prominent should be our dependence on Krishna and that desire to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of God. So I wanted to, just because I was speaking a little bit about the Mani Griva Nala Kuvara, I wanted to read what I always considered the essential verse of their surrender, the essential point of their surrender. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 10.10.38. Henceforward, may all our words describe your pastimes. May our ears engage in oral reception of your glories. May our hands, legs, and other senses engage in actions pleasing to you. And may our minds always think of your lotus feet. May our heads offer obeisances to everything within this world, because all things are also your different forms. And may our eyes see the forms of Vaishnavas who are non-different to you. So it's a very, very wonderful prayer that encompasses how, what is the actual process of surrender. It means giving everything to Krishna in a very practical way. They describe it in a very practical way. Of course, the last item is very easy here. See, when I see the Vaishnavas, no, here in Vrindavan, it's difficult not to see the Vaishnavas. There are Vaishnavas everywhere. So this wonderful manifestation of the Vaishnavas is what gave Manigriva and Nalakubara the possibility of approaching the Lord. What did they actually do? No. What did they actually do to achieve the personal audience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? No. Coming from tree to pure devotee. No. What was... No, even Krishna himself was thinking, as he was crawling between those trees, he was thinking, why should I liberate these two? No. But then he said, because this is my devotee's desire. That's why I should do it. No. What do you think? What did they do? No. What they did was involuntarily accept the curse of Narada Muni. No. Just showing the power of the mercy of the devotees of the Lord. And therefore, what to speak of the power of wanting to surrender to Krishna, voluntarily doing everything within our possibilities to surrender to Krishna. What about that? How powerful that is. How wonderful that is. And the only thing that can possibly obstruct that is that we don't see things. In past classes, it's been mentioned many times, the famous verse of Lord Brahma, Tate Nukampam Susamikshamana, that we should patiently await the mercy of the Lord, however it manifests, because however it's manifesting depends on atmakritta, depends on what I've done. What I've done in my life, in my past life, and therefore, however it manifests, whether it's manifesting through the karma that was there before I tried to surrender to Krishna, however it's manifesting, I have to see it as Krishna's mercy. Because ultimately, everything that's happening to every living entity, whether it be the opportunity to serve Krishna or a tsunami, it's all Krishna's mercy to bring them to a point where they can actually realize that this material world is a place of suffering, is a place of difficulty, is a place of misery, and I have to get out of this material world. So what to speak of a devotee? We simply have to have that patience that to allow whatever Krishna wants us to allow. And Srila Prabhupada gave us that example. No. He didn't pray to Krishna, please take away this miserable condition that I'm in. Sometimes we pray like that. No. Of course, sometimes it's so miserable that we may not have a choice. No. There's no other, no one else to go to except for Krishna. But we shouldn't see Krishna or the purpose of devotional service to minimize or eliminate my suffering. Although that may be a preliminary stage, because everyone, different devotees surrender to Krishna according to the, whatever situation in this material world is plaguing them. Whether they're distressed, whether they're looking for some opulence, whether they want to understand something, or whether they're looking for the Supreme. That may be our initial motive, but we have to evolve and make the motive evolve into simply wanting to please Krishna and simply allowing Krishna's desire, Krishna's will to become manifest in my life. So, in Satyavrata Muni's last prayer, going back to that last prayer, he prays that Sanatana Goswami explains that when he says that Tadiyo Darayata Vishvasya Damne, that Tadiya means the devotees, you know, the paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore he's saying that your mercy is available to all the devotees, and especially that mercy is especially manifested in the lives of the gopis. And of all the gopis, Namo Radhikayai Tvadiya Priyayai. The gopis and the best of the gopis, Shrimati Radharani. And that Namo Nantalilaya Devaya Tubhyam. And that mercy has become manifest in the form of your wonderful, unlimited, transcendental pastimes. So, by those pastimes, and by being absorbed in Krishna, and by being surrendered to Krishna, we can achieve what this whole pastime, which we're absorbed in this month of Kartik, Damodar Lila, is that yat prayasho jititityas taistri lokyam. That even though the Lord within the three worlds is unconquerable, he's conquered by his devotee. And that devotee who gives up jnane prayasam udarapasta namante eva, that devotee who gives up the process of knowledge, or otherwise the process of by one's own intellectual, physical, mental effort trying to ascend and understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But once we surrender, and how do we surrender? By glorifying him. No, tanuvan manubir, with our actions, with our thoughts, and with our words. When we dedicate these three things to Krishna in surrender, then devotional service unfolds very quickly and very beautifully in the life of the devotee. There are many things we can say about opulence, about dependence, about independence, but the time is up. So I'll stop here and leave a few minutes for questions, if anyone should have a question. Maharaj? I'm a little hard of hearing nowadays, so I'm glad we have the microphone.
My brain's a little slow when you get to the combination. You were mentioning about opulence that the Lord gives the devotees, and you said the first opulence is surrender. I'm wondering, what are some of the other opulences? And is there a sequence? Is there a relationship?
Well, this is, of course, this is the greatest opulence. And from that opulence, from surrender, comes the whole benefit of devotional service as we go through the different stages. Ado Shraddha, no. From surrender, we get faith, or we have some initial faith, then we associate with Vaishnavas. So the opulence is increased according to the analysis of Rupa Goswami. You know, we get the association of devotees, we get the instruction of the spiritual master and the opportunity to engage in devotional service, which is a great opulence. You know. And then anartha nivritti, nishta, our faith becomes fixed, and then we get the opulence of being attracted to the Lord, being that attraction becoming fully manifest, and progressively, so many opulences, but those opulences are difficult to. Otherwise, a devotee doesn't think so much that we have these opulences, but a devotee thinks that I have the opulence of the Krishna's mercy. This is the greatest opulence of all. Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada mentioned that the universal form is imaginary. So my question is that from you understood that it's completely symbolic, or is it not real in the way that it is because it's temporary?
What is symbolic, right?
Universal form.
Well, yes, it's Srila Prabhupada describes it, especially in the second canto, as imaginary. Imaginary meaning that it's a temporary manifestation. And it's a meditation meant to engage the minds of those who are, as Shukadeva Goswami said, when Krishna entered into the arena of Kamsa's arena, sports arena, so to speak, where you see people do different things. When he walked in, the most unfortunate were those who simply saw the universal form. But Krishna manifests that his potency becomes that universal form. And that universal form, now the universal form that Arjuna saw and the universal form that's being described here are a little different. The universal form described here is seeing all the material elements and everything being part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the universal form that Krishna manifested to Arjuna and to Advaitacharya and to Mother Yashoda, well, not to Mother Yashoda, didn't see this particular universal form, is a very specific universal form to manifest the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how everything is contained within him. But those both of those universal manifestations are temporary. It's not a permanent thing. But it is, in one sense, a reality, because the Lord manifests himself in that way. He gives that knowledge and he gives that understanding and he gives that meditation through his devotees, through Shukadeva Goswami. Srila Prabhupada ki.